Chronicles chapter number 7, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. That's, and then we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. It's been quite some time since I preached on it, according to my preaching schedule, but it's one of the verses or the few verses that is used many times around the 4th of July or patriotic type themes. And I like to look for a little while about the only hope for America. The only hope for America. As we mentioned at the beginning of the service, Psalms 33:12, the beginning of the verses, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I began thinking and meditating and pondering, and I think about this verse that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. For me, it shows something. It shows some hope that we have for our nation. It also shows us where to get the help for our nation, too. It comes from the Lord. And inside that verse, there is hope and there is help that is mentioned. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on this story. This is Solomon had just finished building what some people would call David's temple, was God's temple. David had the desire to do it in his heart. God said no because of the fact that he had blood on his hands and because of the fact he was a man of war. He was not going to allow him to build the temple. So God allowed Solomon to build the temple. And after this great building of this great temple, the Lord blessed it, and they had a great time of sacrifice, a great time of prayer, a great time of worship. And you look in verses 1 through 12, it would show you all those different things. And for sake of time, we're not going to look at all that, but they have just dedicated the temple. And it was a phenomenal experience for those that were there. And in verse number 12, we pick up something that the Lord is appearing to Solomon and speaking to Solomon. He's saying, in a sense, if the nation ever gets in trouble, this is what the nation has to do in order for the Lord to begin to bless again. If the nation ever has some type of catastrophe or some type of calamity, this is what needs to happen in order for us to get the nation back on track. Now, let me say, in context, this is written to the nation of Israel. This is not written to all people. It's in a different dispensation. You'll even see in verse number 15, they say, when you pray in this temple. And we are not in that temple this morning. But application purposes, and there's many preachers that will use this verse as a thought for revival and also as a thought to how to help our nation to get back to where it needs to be, and the fact that the Lord is, the God is the Lord of our nation. Because he's always God. He never stops being God. If you go to Psalms chapter 33, where the verse says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," it talks about how he is God and how he is worthy of all praise, how he can do all things. He has done all things, and you can't trust in horses. You can't trust in anything because he is Lord and he is God of the Lord. And did that help? That sounds a little bit better there. So he is God, and because he is Lord. But the question is, why isn't America turning so much away from him? You know, 10 years ago, things weren't as bad as they are today. 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We could go over and look at numbers. We could talk about, since Roe versus Wade, that there's been over 53 million babies that have been aborted. I think the average is one every 27 seconds. And you go and you start considering all the different problems of America with people attacking, sexual attacks are happening in the world today. And you see all the unwanted pregnancies, and you see all the different homosexuals agendas that are trying to be pushed. And you see so many different things that shows that America and America's culture is trying to turn its back on God. Why don't we see that hope? Why don't we see that help? We have believers, we have Christians, we have churches all across America that supposedly love the Lord and praise God and want what's best for America. So why are we not seeing God blessing America? And some things that we can do to help God bless America. And I see in this passage of Scripture. But before we get to that, I want you to think about a couple things with me. Our theme verse for the year, Hebrews 11:6, says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." And we've talked about that a little bit. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." First question I want to ask you today is, as a Christian and as a believer that's sitting in this room, is God your Lord? He is your creator, and he is your savior if you put your faith and trust in him already in your life. But is he Lord of your life? Is he the one that is on the throne of your heart? Does he rule supreme? And then if he is, you say, yes, Lord. Hey, yes, Pastor, he is. Then do you diligently seek after him? As you diligently seek after him, do you believe that he can make a difference and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek after him? Think about what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I read that verse and I thought about that verse this week and I looked at that verse and he says that we can boldly enter into the throne of grace as we're coming into him, as we're praying, as we're talking about prayer on Wednesday nights, and as we've been going through that series on Wednesday nights, it says that we can boldly enter into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And that's what we're seeking for. We want God to be merciful to our nation, and we need to find grace to help in the time of need. And if you go and you think about America, it is a great time of need in our country today. You think about just the deficit and the trillions of dollars and how it's just getting worse and worse and how America seems to be getting farther and farther away from God. So why aren't we getting the help that God talks about in his word? Why are we not finding grace to help in the time of need? And there's some different reasons, but I like to focus this morning on what a believer could do and why the believer is not seeing the blessing of God in their life. Let's look here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. We're not going to start in verse 14. We're going to start in verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer. That's still amazing. The God of the universe hears and answers a prayer. Look what it says. I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Then he says in verse 13, if something happens in this nation, there's something you can do. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So these are things. If there's a national calamity that's going on, that means there's a problem. That means that people have turned their back on God, or people have started worshiping idols. And once again, this is in context to the nation of Israel, because God had promised to bless the nation of Israel. God had promised that nation Israel would be able to go to the promised land and be able to defeat their enemies and do all those different things. But as we went through the book of Judges, and as we went through the book of 1 Samuel, as we're going through 2 Samuel, and as we continue through, we see that many times they did what was right in their own eyes, and they turned their back on God, and God brought things such as pestilence, and God brought things such as other nations to be able to judge them. But there was a remedy here. There was hope for the nation of Israel. There was help that was for the nation of Israel. And he says, if these things happen, this is what you need to do. If my people. And once again, this references to the nation of Israel, but I think it's something that we can be consider in our own lives as believers and as Christians, because the Bible says, calls itself a peculiar people. It talks about how we are his children, that we are of his people. If my people, which are called by my name, and yes, obviously Israel was called by his name, and I'm not saying that we are the modern day Israel. That's not true. There is still an Israel. There's still a Jewish nation, the church, and the different dispensation of the church. But we are people that are called Christians after the name of Christ, called by my name. And then he gives a remedy or a prescription of how to help your nation. And once again, in context, he's speaking to Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Look what it says in verse number 15, just to show you, now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So you see the difference there. I want to make sure I establish that fact. You go, and sometimes preachers say, you know, this is something that works for today and works for revival. And application-wise, we still serve the same God, and God will bless those that are humble, and God will bless those that are praying, and God will bless those that are seeking his face, and God will bless those who are turning from sin and looking to God. But I wanted to make sure before we get into it that you understand in the context of the scripture, as we try to preach many times verse by verse and scripture by scripture, that you understand this was a promise to the nation of Israel, but it can and does apply to us today. We do not know what God will do, and we trust that the Lord will do as he sees fit. Remember, our nation's motto is, in God we trust. Do we trust in him? Because if we trust in him, then we're going to make him Lord of our lives. And because we trust in him and we make him Lord of our lives, we're going to listen to him and says, look, our nation is in trouble. Our nation is in need of help. And he says we can boldly come into the throne of grace that we may find mercy and that we may find grace to help in time of need. And so today, I want to encourage you as believers and I want to encourage you as Americans, your nation is in trouble. Let us go to him and let us ask him for the help that we so desperately need. And let us not just go to him saying, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. Let us go instead boldly into the throne of grace and we seek the mercy. Let us do it believing that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently ask him and seek after him. So there is four things in this verse I'd like for you to look at and consider. These are some of the reasons why I believe God is not blessing, is because some Christians and believers have four different problems in their life. Four things that are stopping the blessings of God on America. And you say, well, Pastor, I know what the problem is in America. There's a bunch of crooked politicians. And you know what? There probably is a bunch of crooked politicians, but that's not how God says you're going to remedy your country. That's not how God offers hope. That is not how God offers help for your country. You know how he offers help and how he offers hope for your country? He does that by speaking to believers. Hey, Mr. Cartwright, can I switch this mic? For some reason, something's going on with the speaker over there, and I don't know if it's my microphone or what, but I'll just stay here if that's better. Does that sound better? Sound the same? Oh, good, good. It was annoying me, so I'm sure it was annoying you. It will annoy me to have to stand here the whole time, but I'll figure out a way. God will help us. So what does God say? Does God say to the unbeliever, you need to get right? He tells them that they need to be saved. And many times we say, what is our problem in America? What is the problems that we're having in America? We like to blame the people that are sinners, acting like sinners. We like to blame the crooked politicians. We like to blame those that are pushing the agendas. This is why God's not blessing. And yes, obviously sin is something that God will judge. But God looks at them and says, if you want hope and you want help for your nation, it comes from the people of God acting like the people of God. I don't know which year it was when it came to 4th of July. I said, the best thing you can do for your nation is to go out and win more people to Christ and to disciple them and train them. The best thing you can do is to make more people that believe that he is God and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after them. And so after that, we were excited that day. And what did we do? We went out and did that, right? We went out and won a lot of people to Christ and discipled them, and they're sitting here this morning. We didn't. So what stops us? We see the equation is, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. We see the equation that he is willing to be a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see the equation of the fact that he says we can boldly enter into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. What stops us as believers from crying out to God and calling to God and saying, God, please help this nation and God blessing our prayer? There's four things that the nation of Israel struggled with, and we see God telling them to change in this verse. And these are four things that many times will stop a believer or a Christian from truly seeking and getting God's help for our nation. The first thing I want you to see is pride. Pride is one reason why America is not getting the help it needs. Pride. Look what it says, that my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. What the scripture is saying there is that if the nation of Israel became prideful, if the nation of Israel turned their back on God, if the nation of Israel said things like, I don't need God anymore, I can do my things my own way, I don't need God's power, I don't need God's strength, I don't need God's help. And that's what the nation of Israel had done. And many times what happens in the day and time we live in is we live in a nation that's filled with churches and filled with Christians, even what we would consider many times good independent Baptist churches with good like-minded believers. Why don't we see the blessing of God in our lives? Yes. It's because pride. We don't think that we need God's help. Think about what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, says these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look is the first thing. The Bible says in James 4:6, but he giveth more of grace, whereof he say, if God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble.
See, God has a better plan. God doesn't want us to be prideful people. God says, if you want true help for your nation, if you truly want the blessings of God in a nation, make God your Lord of your life and then diligently seek after him. Believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And don't be prideful in your heart and don't be prideful in your life. The nation of Israel over and over said, I don't need God. I can make things my own way. I don't need God. I can do things better then in my own life. I know what's best for me. I can call my own shots. You say, I would never say that to God. Well, Israel never say that. In a sense, they never looked up to God and said, God, I don't want you anymore. But what did they do? They knew God's laws. They knew God's commandments. They knew God's way of doing things. And instead, they said, that's good for somebody else, but that's not good for me. And he says, if your nation is going through a problem, if your nation is having issues, if your nation is having a national calamity, there is a reason for that. And that reason is something has happened in the hearts and minds of the people of God, the people who are called by the name of God. They've come to the spot in their lives where they no longer are dependent upon him. No longer do they think that God is Lord anymore. No longer do they say they need God in every area of their lives. Christian, today I want you to think about this. If we truly want to help our nation, God has a plan for that. And he says that plan is, first of all, is to humble yourself. That word humble means to bend the knee, means to bring down, to place self under another. Pride will not allow a prideful person to bow the knee to the Lord. God desires his people to take whatever steps necessary to bring themselves under his authority. And he wants us to know that without him, we can do nothing. He wants us to understand in our Christian lives, if we truly want to leave this place and say, Lord, I want to help America today. Lord, I want to make a difference in my nation. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm seeking that help. It begins with saying, God, I know I can't do this on my own. God, I know that it is based off of what you can do and what you alone can do. And God, I am seeking your help and I'm asking for your help. And Lord, I believe you can help me and no one else can. Humbleness. We're ever truly going to get the help that we desire is we're going to have to look and do things God's way. No longer is it going to be the way that I think is right and the way that I think is best. Instead, we humbly fall on our face. We bend our knees and say, God, you are Lord. And as Lord, I want to follow what you have said. As we learned a little bit about last week with Mr. Mark, as he preached in the afternoon, he said, trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. If we in God we trust is our motto, if we're one nation under God, that means that we cannot say we can do this ourselves. Instead, if we're trusting in him, you know what we had to do is not trust in us. Today, do you truly have a humble heart and a humble spirit? Because the Bible says God resisteth the proud. And I see so many prideful people in America today. I see so many prideful people in churches today. I see so many people today that think, hey, this is right. This is the way it's got to be done. It's got to be done my way. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm right and I don't care. That's not humble. We need Christians today that would have a broken heart and say, Lord, show me. Search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. A humble heart saying, I know and I see who I am, but I see who you are and I see you high and lifted up. And God, you're the only one that can help us. You're the only one that can help this nation. But over and over, if you go through the times of the nations of Israel, they would turn their back on God. And sometimes they would try to hire other nations. Sometimes they would go to other gods and they would never submit and say, God, I see the problem and the problem is what's in my heart. I want to do things my way instead of doing things God's way. If we really want that help, the only hope for America is the Lord. And the people that can get a hold of the Lord is the people who have a humble heart. The second thing, not only is pride one of the reasons why we do not see God's blessing on America as it could and as it should. Second thing is prayerlessness is another reason why we do not see the blessing of God on its people and in his people and God's the people of God in America. Their challenge, he says, if my people which are called by my name, and I think there's a connection, shall humble themselves. If a person will stop thinking of their ways and stop resisting the Lord and start saying that, God, I need you and I know I need you, they will humble themselves. And what's the next step is they're going to pray. I think one of the reasons why we don't see that blessing is because many times people don't pray. One preacher put it this way: the people of God are challenged to pray. Prayerlessness is the first cousin to pride. Prayerlessness says, I do not need to call on the Lord. I can make it just fine without his aid. Prayerlessness does not say, he is all I need, but I am all I need. Prayerlessness relies on self, and the resources of self can produce and refuse to lean on Jesus alone. Prayerlessness is one of the reasons why we do not see America getting the help it needs. You know, if we have a dinner, or we have something else that's a fun activity, you can bring people and people will come. You have a prayer meeting, hardly anybody shows up. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to be tough. I'm just saying, if we truly want to help America, we must learn how to pray once again. As we've been looking at our series on Wednesday night, and we talk about that thing when Jesus looked at Peter and said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And when's the last time we spent an hour praying for America? On this coming Wednesday night, we're going to go to the next few steps, and we're going to look at intercession, and we're going to look at petitions, and we're going to look at speaking to the Lord about the needs of others, and we're going to show you how to pray and how to pray for other people and how to pray for your nation. But when's the last time we prayed? Prayerlessness is something that says, I don't need God's help. But we look all around America, we look inside our families, we look inside our churches, and there's problems everywhere. But the question is, do we pray? Do we take the time to go before God? He has promised us that we can boldly enter into the throne of grace. He has promised us that we can find mercy, we can obtain mercy, and he will give us grace to help in the time of need. He has said, I will give it to you if you'll just pray. But do we pray? And this is convicting to my heart also. I want to see America's help get help as much as anyone. But the question is, do we pray? Is the fact that we can pray and not see God work? Prayer is the ultimate statement of inability. It's looking at God and with a humble heart and saying, God, I can't do this. I need you. We've lost the art of waiting on God before we pray. And we've talked about things like watching. We've talked about waiting on Wednesday nights. But I believe that America struggles so much because many of us just don't pray. And we need to move quickly here, but there's even a step here. He says, look what he says, not only humble themselves, so not only do we see pride and prayerlessness, some of the reasons why, but you see, not only does it say pray, it actually goes a step farther, seek my face. You say, Pastor, that's the same thing. Prayer and seeking my face, they're two different things. No, there's some things here. First, pride is one of the reasons why we don't see the blessing of God like we could amongst his people, which could help affect our nation. Once again, I'm not saying that if we don't get rid of the sin in America, that God's not going to be able to bless us. I'm saying that God can bless us, that God can help a believer, God can help a church, God can see more people get saved, God can see families get right with God, and then that would spread out and that would boil over into our countries and into our states and into our cities. That's what I'm saying. And the third thing here is not just pride that stops, it's not just prayerlessness that stops the blessing of God. There's a third thing is priorities. When God had to tell his people not just to pray, he says, I want you to seek my face. That word seek means to search out by any method, especially by worship and prayer. That word face speaks of the countenance, to turn toward his direction. That means that we take the time to seek after God, that we make God a priority in our life. You say, Pastor, it's Sunday morning. It's, you know, noon. We're supposed to be done here soon. I made God a priority today. It's here. It's not just then. It's seeking God with our time. It's seeking God with our energy. It's seeking God with our resources. If you had to be really honest today, what would be the number one priority in your life? Answer for yourself, but come to your mind, what would be the number one priority in your life? That number one priority can be family. That number one priority can be self. As a pastor, I know that number one priority can be ministry sometimes. Sometimes that number one priority may be a mate or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Sometimes that number one priority may be the internet or Facebook. But what the Bible is saying here is that if we truly want to get the help that America needs, if we truly want the blessing of God, he says, look, if your nation has a calamity, if your nation has a problem, if your nation has needs, you need to make sure you're not prideful. Then you need to begin to pray. But not just pray, you need to seek his face. We think about that church in Revelation chapter number 2. In Revelation chapter number 2, I believe it was the church of Ephesus, and it talked about all these good things. He knew their labor. He saw their patience. He saw all the things they judged who was really truly of God and who was not of God. But he says, I have somewhat against thee. He says, you have left your first love. You have lost the priority of loving me. And Christian, today, if we truly want to help America, we got to make sure that we have a humble heart. We got to make sure we're praying. But our priorities must be to spend time alone with the Lord and do what God has called us to do. You say, Pastor, I make God a priority. When's the last time you met with him? The reason why we're looking on Wednesday nights saying, and we're trying to teach you how you can pray for an hour and how you can spend quality time with God. I know he's been working in my heart and my life and my mind as I spend extended times of prayer with the Lord. I see God blessing. I see God working. I see God. I made it a priority. I need to meet with the Lord. He's the God of the universe and he wants to meet with you. The most important meeting you have every single day is the meeting, the time you spend alone with Jesus Christ. It's time you spend alone with the Lord. And what is your priority today? And it might mean that you had to get up earlier. It might mean that you had to stay up later. But if that's the most important meeting of your day, is when you spend time with the Lord. I know some of you go and have coffee with people. Some of you have an appointment at work. Some of you have all these other things that you need to be here and schedule. And we would never be late because that would be a bad testimony. But he's saying if you really, truly want to help America, you need to make sure that you're humble. You need to make sure that you're praying. But you need to seek his face. He must be the priority in your life and say, God, I want you first and foremost. That's the person God can bless. You say, how do you know what's most important in your life? Here's three things that one preacher put it this way. On what activity do you spend the most of your time? On what do you spend the bulk of your money? On what do you focus your thoughts? What do you spend most of your time doing? And what do you spend most of your money doing? And what do you spend most of the time thinking about? See, misplaced priorities are one of the reasons why God doesn't bless today. You think about the nation of Nineveh when they heard Jonah get up there and preach 40 days. What happens? Nineveh has a great revival. Why is that? You know what they did? No longer this prideful nation, they turned to God. What did this prideful nation do? They began to pray and they sought God. They stopped eating, they fasted, they did everything they could, and they made God a priority in their life. And I'm not saying that's what you should or should not do, but what I'm saying is, where is God your priority in your life? You say, Pastor, I help at the church, I serve here, I serve there, I do all these things, I spend my time, I give a lot, but what is our priority when we talk about seeking his face? I'm talking to people, many of you, you're here hour after hour, you're here doing work, and you're here, you're serving. But make sure that the priority is that we seek the face of God, that we search for a better relationship and a fellowship with him that can grow sweeter and sweeter. What does he say? If we draw nigh unto them, he'll draw nigh unto us. Last but not least, he says to them, there's four different reasons, four different things you have to fix if your nation's having a hard time, if it's going through a calamity. He said in verse 13, if I shut up the heaven, if I send a command the locust, if I send pestilence. And then he says, but the way you can fix that is by being humble, by praying. And last but not least, it says, turn from your wicked ways. I see the last thing we wrote down, not only was it pride, and not only was it prayerlessness, and not only was it priorities, but presumption, presuming upon God. Here, he tells the people to turn from their wicked ways. This was God's chosen people. This was the one that had the Ten Commandments that was nearby. This is the one that had the temple that was going to be there. This is the one that had the history of the Red Sea being parted, the walls of Jericho falling down. But they began presuming upon God. What do you mean? That is, they are told to forsake their sins. Sometimes we can say, I'm saved. Some of these things really doesn't matter if I do them or do not do them. Sometimes people think that just because I'm saved and on my way to heaven, that there is no wicked thing in my life. But what the Lord is saying to the nation of Israel, and what I'm trying to hopefully expressing to you, is that if there's something in your life that you know is wrong, and that you've been presuming upon God's grace, and you've been presuming that God just really doesn't care, and you live, and we live in a seeker-sensitive age that says, you know, God doesn't care what you think, God doesn't care what you look like, God doesn't care what you wear, God doesn't care what you listen to, God doesn't care this, God doesn't care that, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says the person who's blessed is the person whose God is the Lord. That means he's Lord of all the areas of your life, and that he cares about you, and he tells you to love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. The nation of Israel kept on presuming upon God. They said, look, God won't care if we worship this idol. God won't care if we marry this other nation. Even though he said in his word, I don't want you to do that, and I don't want you to do that. They presume upon him. What we truly need sometimes in our circles is a season of repentance. We are good with excuses. We are quick to rationalize our behavior. But we are slow to fall before God in humility and say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Is there areas in our life that we know we should be working on? And I know I bring up some, and I know the Holy Spirit of God's job is to point to, right to your heart and say, that's what I want you to work on. But what about relationships with our families? Do we treat our husband and wife the way that we should? Oh, no, no, Pastor, that's, we're good, we're fine. Are we doing it scripturally? Kids, are we obeying and honoring our parents? That doesn't apply. That's, we're presuming upon God. God says one thing, we want to do something different. What about being faithful to church? There's some people who might say, hey, I'm here today, I don't need to come the rest of the month. That's presuming upon God's. It's you know, what about soul winning? He's told us in his word that we should go into all the world and teach the gospel, preach the gospel. He's told us in all the world that we should be sharing our faith and we should be expressing it to one another. But many of us struggle with that. What about meditating on the word of God and memorizing the word of God? These are just spiritual things. I'm not even talking about maybe the things you watch that you know you're not supposed to. I'm not even talking about the anger or the bitterness that may be in your heart. I'm not even talking about the worry or the things that show in your lives that everybody sees, but you just say, oh, it's okay, it's not a big deal. When we do that, we presume upon God and we think, oh, God will just take care of me. God will make sure everything happens. God will work everything out for good. But the Bible says that he's going to work everything out for good to those that love him and that are called according to his purpose. And if we truly want help today, if we truly want the help that God, the only hope for America is the help that God can offer. If we truly want that, God gives us a recipe when a nation is in trouble. He says, you need to be humble. You need to pray, and not just pray. You need to have your priority in the time of seeking my face and searching for me. And not only that, as you search for him, you know what you're going to find out? There's things in your life that's stopping you from searching. See, as you become humble, you're going to say, Lord, I need you. And your prayer time is going to expand. And as your prayer time expands, you know what you're going to do? You're going to see how great the Lord is, how sweet he is, how much he loves you, and how much you can communicate with him, and how much you can interact with him, and how much he can lead you and guide you. And then you're going to begin seeking your face, because you know that's what you're supposed to do, because as you get stronger and closer, you begin to seek his face. And as you get closer and closer to God, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be more and more things he brings up in your mind and says, this is what I want you to quit doing. This is what I want you to start doing. How can it there be one person as a blood-bought believer, a Christian, that's on their way to heaven and have certain priorities and standards, and another person not? And once again, it's your walk with the Lord. I'm not trying to tell you what you should and should not do, but I'm also saying that there's some people that are closer to the Lord today because they've sought his face with a humble heart. I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to do what the Lord wants. And they pray. And God says, you know what, that attitude that you have, you could work on that. Nobody else might think that. Sometimes I tell people that I have a smart mouth sometimes. I do my best to try to not say things that people say, Pastor, I've never heard you say anything like that or done anything like that. You haven't been around me enough, I guess. But you say, what are you getting at? I'm saying that I know what's in me. And as I go closer to God, there are certain things I have to turn from. There's certain things I had to stop doing. Pastor, it says wicked things, turn from their wicked way. Yes, anything that goes against God is wickedness. And we need to make sure we're turning from that. So what in your heart and life today has God been trying to say, I want you to stop, or I want you to start, I want you to start working on this, I want you, what is that in your life today? He says, that means more to me than God. And he says, that's what you need to turn from. But when I see this, look at the rest of the verse. He offers hope here. He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. He says, look, you have a national calamity. Look what it said in verse number 12. At verse number 13, look, you don't have rain. Your crops would be gone. The locusts could devour your land. Pestilence. There could be all these horrible things going wrong. But there is hope. There is help. And I know that the sermon might seem like it's all negative. But the truth of the matter is God does not bless many Christians today is because of the fact that we're not humble. And we don't pray. And God's not a priority to us. We like our Christian lives the way it is. We like being lazy in our Christian lives many times. We like doing things our own way. We like singing to the Lord. We like saying our prayers. We like God blessing us in certain ways. But if we truly want to help our nation, we got to recognize that pride stops God's blessing. We got to recognize that prayerlessness stops God's blessing, that priorities stop, the wrong priorities stop God's blessing. And when we presume upon God and say, everybody else does this, we have become so much like the world that if you saw a Christian that was sold out, you look at them and say, that person's peculiar. There's something wrong with that person. But what that person is trying to do is turn away from the wicked things and accept what Christ is trying to show us and teach us. This morning, let me encourage you. We probably all of us in this room would say we love America. Many of you fought for America, and thank you for that. Many of you gave time and years of service. Many of you have worked hard in trying to raise a right family and be good in the community. All those things are wonderful. And I think those things are good, and you should commend it for them, and thank you for those things. But the real hope, the real thing that's going to make America great again, the real thing that's going to get the blessing of God on a nation is when God is the Lord. He's not going to be Lord over those that are lost. He's not going to be Lord over those living in wickedness. He's not going to be Lord of those. He's Lord of the people of God and the people who know him. As we finish, I do want to say one thing. It's this passage of scripture was written, if my people. It's a message that's written to God's people. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not one of his people. I've never accepted Jesus Christ in my heart as my personal Savior. You might say, if I die today, I'm not sure if I would go to heaven or not. You know what? There is help and hope for you just as much as there is for this nation. And even to a greater extent, because there is an individual promise that if you call upon the name of the Lord, he says he'll save you. This morning, according to what the Bible says, all men are lost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is help and hope for any and everyone that will come to him and confess that they're a sinner and believe what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. So if you're here this morning and if you've never been saved, not on your way to heaven or not sure about it, let me encourage you in a second. We're going to have an invitation. The invitation is something we do to encourage people to come forward. If God has spoken to their heart and if God is working on your heart about needing salvation, then come forward. We'll have someone take a Bible. You go into a room in the back and take as long as you need, and they'll show you from the scriptures how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. It is the most important decision you could ever make in your life. And that is the best thing you can do for your country today. Because another believer is another person that's can live for the Lord and that God can bless. Now, today in your life, Christian, believer, do you really truly want to help America? Let's make sure we're humble. Let's make sure we're praying. Let's make sure we have the right priorities. And let's stop presuming upon God's grace. What does it say in Romans chapter 6, 1? Says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Turn from that wicked way. Don't allow sin to reign and rule in your life. Make God Lord of your life, because he's promised you help. He's promised you that you can find mercy, you can obtain mercy, and you can find grace in the time of need. Don't you have needs? He says he can help you. Boldly could come before the throne of grace. Seek his help. But to do that, you have to realize that he is God,
and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you have needs in your life today, turn to God. Get rid of that garbage that's in your life that's so important, but that does not mean anything. And say, Lord, I need your help today. I'm seeking it with a humble heart. I'm praying and seeking your face. And I'm turning from those things I know I should. The Bible says, if we confess and forsake, we're going to find what? Mercy. And so I want to encourage you today. Do you want to help America? It starts with saying, why isn't God blessing my life? Could it be one of these four things? Let's go ahead and stand here.